it almost felt like I'd already completely rested and I was ready to go, and then the missionaries came, and I almost sent them all home and told them I would preach, but I didn't. So if you guys have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me real quick to Genesis chapter 21, and I'm going to make it a little bit quicker today. Actually, the goal was to kind of shorten things because of our annual business meeting, but I think we're already a little bit over. But so turn with me to Genesis chapter 12 this morning. I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of a sucker for an origin story. I love the movie Batman Begins. Anyone else like Batman Begins with Christian Bale? Oh, yeah. What about the original Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire back in 2002? Funny fact, I guess they did some polling, and out of the three Spider-Mans, Tobey is regarded as the best. And so I love origin stories. I loved the movie Jesus Revolution. Did anyone else see that movie? Was that not awesome? Oh my goodness, I saw it twice. I was so moved. The story of the Jesus movement and the 70s and Chuck Smith and Lonnie Frisbee and Greg Laurie, man, what a great movie. I also even love the movie. I don't know if you guys have seen, if any of you guys have seen the movie Flash of Genius. Have you seen that movie before? It's about a guy in the 1960s who was actually from Detroit, who invented the intermittent windshield wiper, and it's really good. And so, I love origin stories, and I love just the idea of how people come into their calling and how people come into, you know, who they are. We're actually going to be starting a new series, and I think it's maybe a little bit of the Lord that was moving on Abraham. And actually, Nino last week spoke on Abraham, and we're going to be starting a new series called Abraham, the Genesis of Faith. Can you guys say Abraham?
Abraham.
The Genesis of Faith.
Genesis of Faith.
One more time.
Abraham.
The Genesis of Faith. I told Nick to yell me down, and she was not lying. She said, I'll do it for you. So we're starting. And Genesis simply means origin or coming into being. And so, again, we're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 12. Thank you, Nick. I appreciate you. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, we're going to read today. And so it says this. It says, the Lord had said to Abram, and that was Abraham's name before he was Abram, before he was Abraham. And the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Man, what a beautiful promise of Scripture. And as Nino talked about last week from Galatians, that's actually not only a promise for Abraham, but that's a promise for us. And that's a promise for our kids and for our kids' kids and for our kids' 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 kids. That's a promise for every generation that God wants to bless us and he wants to make our name great and he wants to use us to be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples of earth will be blessed through you. Man, what a beautiful, beautiful promise of Scripture. Amen. Are you guys thankful that we have promises in the Lord and blessings in the Lord? Amen. And so he goes on to say, so Abram went, and as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions that they accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. I'm going to read one more time real quick. And the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless those who bless you. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, and as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had acquired, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Let's pray. Lord, may your word just come alive to us this morning. May you speak to us this morning. May you challenge us this morning. May you just move in our hearts this morning, God. We give you full permission to make room. God, I pray that you will open our hearts and just scatter some seed, Father. I pray that we'll be just receptive to the things that you have for us, God. I pray that you use me, an imperfect, flawed vessel, to bring about your perfect word. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. So again, I love origin stories, and this is Abraham's origin story. This is his Genesis. You know, I was thinking about it, that our faith really begins with an encounter with God, doesn't it? You know, our faith journey begins with an encounter with God. I went back to church in my home church when I was back home, and I was devastated because they actually took the pews out. And I remember there was a pew there somewhere that I made that I had an encounter with God, and that God spoke to me vividly as a young person, and God ministered to me, and God spoke to me. And the beautiful thing about, man, when we have an encounter with God is that he does this inward work, doesn't he? He does this miraculous inward work, and he changes us, and he transforms us, and he touches our heart, and he makes us new. It's like this miraculous inward work. It's a salvatory work. It's a salvation type work, you know. It's interesting because when I look at Scripture, I think it's in John chapter 3, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a high ranking person in the synagogue. He speaks to Nicodemus, and he speaks to Nicodemus, and he says, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit." And I love that because the only thing that can bring us life, that can bring life to these dry bones. You know, does anyone else feel like they have dry bones sometimes? But the only thing that can bring life to our dry bones is the Spirit of the living God. And when he comes in and he ministers and he changes us and he speaks to us, it's like this miraculous work. Anyone here this morning ever feel the miraculous touch of the Holy Spirit? Amen. But it's weird because when he speaks to us and when he ministers to us and when he changes us, it's a change in our heart. And sometimes that's a difficult change in our life. But also it's a change of direction. You know what I'm talking about? It's a change of direction. I remember when, I feel like I'm talking a lot about when I was home in Minnesota. But when I was in Minnesota, I guess I was just thinking about my parents this week. But when I was home in Minnesota, my dad, he has this little Ranger. It's a little truck, a Ford Ranger. And he bought it online. And this truck, I guess it's common in these Ford Rangers that the beds rust out on them. So he bought, this guy had made a bed for this Ford Ranger out of plywood. And then he had spray painted it white. And the truck looks hideous, by the way. But my dad loves it. He loves to drive it around town and stuff. And I got pulled over while I was in town. I think people were thinking that I was driving illegally. But he has this little truck, and he decided that he wanted to go and hook a plow up to the front of this little Ford Ranger to plow our driveway out in the country. And so evidently he met this guy who works on cars, and he said that he'd do it inexpensively. But this guy lived out in the country about maybe 15, 20 miles away from my dad. And so my dad and I'm following him because he's going to drop the truck off to get the plow so that he can plow, so that in the wintertime he can plow, and he can take my mom out just in case, you know, for her medical visits and stuff. And so so we go out, and I'm following him, and he's like, "Son, it's about 10 minutes away, 15 minutes at max." And I'm following him, and we're driving, and we're driving, and we're driving. And my dad used to be phenomenal with directions, and so we're driving, and we're driving, and he pulled over to the side of the road, and I got out. I'm like, "Dad, do you know where you're going?" He's like, "I thought it was here, thought it was." And so we pulled out the GPS, and we realized that we went about 20 miles in the wrong direction. Okay, but it's interesting because I feel like when God speaks to us, there's a change of direction, right? There's a change. Like we don't keep on going in the same direction. There's a there's a movement into a different direction. There's a push into another direction. In fact, if you look at the word repentance, is what, you know, when we come to the Lord and we repent of our sins, right? It's this idea of turning away from the direction we were going into and going into a new direction. And so it's this turning point. And so here's Abraham. Here's Abram. And he's living in he's living in Haran with his family. And he hears the call of the Lord to go. And he's told to leave his country. He's told to leave his people. Look at the passage of Scripture. And he's told to leave his household. He's told to leave his country. Can you guys say country? Can you guys say people? Can you say household? Like, when you think about it, those three things are the things that when people ask me who I am, when people inquire about my history, when they ask, like, hey, I'm Norwegian. There's a place in Norway called Distad that's in the mountains. Like, those are the things that I identify with. My country, my people, and my household. He told him to leave everything that he was comfortable with. He told him to leave everyone that he associated with. He told him to leave everything in order to follow him. He's telling him, I'm going to bless you, but I need you to step outside of all of your human accomplishments, all of your human work. I want you to leave your past behind and trust me with your future. I want you to leave your past behind and trust me with your future. Abraham, I want to be, maybe you've seen this before in Scripture, I want to be your shepherd. You know, the idea of a shepherd is what you do is you take sheep from one pasture and you lead them to another pasture. The sheep maybe don't really understand where they're going or what they're doing or how they're going to accomplish it, but they're following the shepherd. I'm taking you from one pasture, and I'm going to take you along a mountainside. Maybe I'm going to take you by a ravine. Maybe I'm going to take you by a spot where I know there might be some wolves over in the thicket. But you gotta trust the shepherd to take you from one pasture to the next pasture, right? And I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm preaching to the choir here this morning, but I feel like God is speaking to us this morning. God might be speaking to you this morning that he wants you to move from one pasture to the next. Like you might feel like you've been doing the same thing. You might be feeling like you're comfortable and you're happy and you're satisfied. But as you listen to the voice of the Lord this morning, what is God calling you to do? Lord, make room. I want to make room for you to do whatever you want to. God, where are you leading me to this morning? It's interesting because you guys heard the song Oceans before by Hillsong? I was looking at the lyric as I was getting this. I should have talked to Cassandra before this, but as I was getting my message ready, I was thinking about this song. It says, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Think about that. That's actually a pretty... Where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet would ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. It's an invitation for the Lord to lead you into the unknown. It's an invitation for the Lord to take you to a spot where you've never been before. It's an invitation for the Lord to take you from one pasture to another. It's an invitation for the Lord to do a work in your heart. It's an invitation for the Lord to do something miraculous in you. And I was thinking about how our faith is really, you know, when you think about your origin story, when you think about maybe the first time God spoke to you and God made himself real to you, it's interesting because once God does the miraculous work in your heart. You change directions and you change perspectives, and your life is through repentance, your life, you turn and you go in another direction. I think, man, that can be hard sometimes, can't it? It can be hard to leave behind the comfortable things. It can be hard to leave behind the things that you're used to. It can be hard sometimes. But I was thinking about all the different times in Scripture where God called mighty men and women of Scripture to go. You know, you think about Moses as the first person that I thought about, where he was on the side of a mountain somewhere, and God spoke to him. And God said in Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, he said, "And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying, and because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go." I think about Gideon, where the Midianites were oppressing the Israelites, and Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press, and the angel of the Lord came to him and spoke to him in Judges chapter 6. And he said, "Go in the strength that you have." Think about Jonah, who was called to Nineveh, and he didn't like the Ninevites, but again, in Jonah chapter 1, in the very first verse, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it." I think about what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, when he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Man, there's a moment in our life where we encounter Jesus, but there's also a moment in our life where God calls us to something different, where I believe that our faith is measured in our movement, and that in order for us to grow, we have to go. We have to leave the familiar. We have to step into the unknown. We have to step into what God is calling us to. God, whatever you want to do in my heart. God, whatever you want to do in my life. God, wherever you want to lead me, wherever you want to take me. God, I'm an open vessel. I'm a blank check for you. What I think happens, though, sometimes is we have the initial encounter with the Lord, and we start out strong. You know, I don't know if you've seen this before. We start out strong. You're so excited about the Lord. We start out strong. But then things get in the way. Things, the worries of life, the trials of life, the hardships of life. It's interesting because when you actually look at this passage of Scripture, and if you go back to Genesis chapter 11, you can see that actually, it actually gives the genealogy. If you're bored, you can read the genealogy. So Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it actually gives the genealogy going from Shem all the way down to Abram. Gives the entire genealogy. And it has a short story about the life of Abraham's father in Genesis chapter 11. And it's interesting because his name is Terah. Terah is Abraham's father. And Terah had three sons. He had Abram, he had Nahor, and he had Haran. And if you look at verse 28 of Genesis chapter 11, you can actually see that he lost his son Haran. Son Haran died, which is sad, which is tragic. Again, sometimes when God calls us and when God leads us, tragedy, death, like things can get in the way. hardships of life can get in the way. But actually, it's interesting because if you look at Genesis chapter 11, verse 31, it says, look at this, it says, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. So his father was actually set out to go to Canaan before Abraham. Interesting, right? But when he came to Haran, now it's, I don't know if it's ironic or just a coincidence, that the name of the city that he stops at is almost the same name as his son, Haran. Do you see that? But when they came to Haran, they settled there. So Terah was heading towards Canaan. He's going from Ur to Canaan. And the trek is probably about 800, 900 miles. And it wasn't like you could jump on a plane and fly there. It wasn't like you could, you know, jump on a nice limousine or whatever. It was trekking across the wilderness, trekking across the desert. So Terah, his father, was heading towards Canaan. And at about 200 miles into the trip, he ends up stopping in Haran, which ironically is very close to the name of his son who passed away earlier. It's also interesting that the city of Haran means crossroads. Maybe it's just a speculation, but it's interesting that he lost his son, and then partially into the journey, he's going where he knows he's supposed to go. He stops in a place that perhaps reminded him of his son, Haran. It was a crossroads. It was a crossroad. Like, maybe there was a couple different routes that maybe came into the city. I'm not entirely sure. But it was a crossroads in his life. Not only literally, but I think it was also a crossroads in his life spiritually, where he could settle in Haran, or he could push on towards the place that he knew he was supposed to go to. And I think sometimes in life, I don't know if you followed all that, but I think sometimes in life, man, God calls us places. He calls us to new pastures. He calls us to new opportunities. He might call us to step out in faith and do something new. He might call us to, I don't know what your calling might be like. Maybe God called you to lead a worship ministry, Cassandra. Or maybe God called you to be a professional rapper, Rabia. Or maybe he called you to, you know, start a church or start a ministry or serve on a board or whatever it might be. And I think sometimes as we go towards the thing that God has called us to, we go through some difficulty. We go through some loss. We come to a spot where there's a crossroads. It's like, well, I could go this way or I could go that way. But this crossroad really kind of reminds me of my son. And because of this, and because it reminds me of the loss, it reminds me of the difficulty I went through, because of this, I'm gonna stay here and I'm going to look at the scripture. It says that he settled there. He settled there. God had other plans for Terah. God had called Terah, his father, to Canaan. But he settled in Haran because it reminded him, I think, it reminded him of the loss that he had experienced in his life just a couple verses before. Listen, do not allow your setbacks, don't allow your tragedy, don't allow the hurt that you've gone through, don't allow the difficulty that you've gone through create a crossroad that hinders you from going to the place where God has called you. Remember the promises of the Lord. God has called you. He has made you to be a blessing so that you can bless other people. Amen? Like, this is a promise not only for Abraham, but it's a promise for us. Don't settle. Don't dwell. Don't sit in Haran, but push towards the things that God has called you towards. You might be sitting in Haran right now. You might be thinking, oh my goodness, this trek has been so long. I thought I would be further in the journey than I am right now. You know? I feel like I got baggage, man. My wife's been mourning. My kids have been mourning because I lost my son. I feel like I got baggage. It'd be so much easier for me to just settle and stay in Haran and do what I want to do. I've already gone a couple hundred miles in the desert. I've already struggled a couple hundred miles, and I know that Canaan is so much further. I mean, my kid's 75 years old, so I must be 100. I feel like I've already been running. And the other thing, I don't even really know what's in front of me. I know that there's something in front of me, but I've never been to Canaan before. I've been hanging out in Ur all this time, and Haran seems nice. I mean, it's familiar. It reminds me of something. It reminds me of something that's familiar. I think sometimes we stay in the familiar rather than stepping out into what God has called us to. We stay in Haran. We settle there. We dwell there. We hang out there. We enjoy it there. And it's interesting because when God speaks, I remember when I was in Royal Rangers, it's like a Christian Boy Scout type group, we'd play flashlight tag. And my buddy, Alan Moore, God bless his heart, it was him and me and Aaron Kurtzals. We were called the Three Amigos and the Three Stooges because we were so goofy and silly. And we were always talking about Star Trek and Star Wars and debating nerdy things. And it was us three and the rest of the kids. And we stood out like a sore thumb. But it was me, Aaron Kurtzals, and Alan Moore. And these other kids were good at flashlight tag. And so Alan thought he would put the odds in our favor. And he went down to a camping store. And he bought a flashlight that was like 10 million candle power. So when you turned it on, man, it would like light up the woods. And you'd see all the creatures. And the kids would scream. And we would laugh. And we'd have such a great... I don't know how much he paid for that flashlight. But it was awesome, man. We were like, yeah, Alan Moore. And so that was back in the days before these darn kids with technology, and we'd be out playing in the woods. And so we were on a camp out. We were doing our powwow, and it was up in Alexandria, Minnesota. And we'd set up the tents, and I remember him just flashing the light out and just blinding all the kids. And they'll probably need glasses after that. Ah, it's Alan! And as the nerds are laughing at them in the corner. But I think sometimes we think that when God speaks to us that we need to see all the details. We want to see every creature in the unknown. We want to see every stick on the path. We want to see everything in front of us for a mile. Man, this flashlight was awesome. But in Scripture, in speaking of the direction of the Lord, it says, for your word is a lamp unto my feet. A lamp to my feet. That kind of gets me upset because I'd like to have the 10 million candle power flashlight. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's not in front terribly, it's to my feet. And that becomes a light unto my path. For your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And when God leads us, it's often just step by step by step by step. Taking faith and taking the next step, the next step, the next step, the next step. Just having faith to take the next step, the next step, the next step. The next step. For your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. Lord, today I pray for those who are here who maybe they've encountered you, but they have allowed the sorrows of life, the difficulties of life, the obstacles of life from keeping them from the blessing that you have and that they have in you, Father. Maybe there are some people here that have they have been settling in Haran. The journey's been difficult. The journey's been tough, and they've settled in Haran, Father. And today, God, I just pray that they will refocus, that they'll change direction again, that the power of your Spirit will speak to their hearts and will change their hearts, Father. We know that your move, Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit, Father. We pray that you will fill them with your Spirit once again. God, we pray that they will not look to the left or to the right, but that they'll fix their eyes on you, the author and the perfecter of our faith, Father. We pray that they will be infused with passion and that they will be infused with purpose once again, Father. We know that you have called them to Canaan. We know that you know the plans that you have for them, Father. And I pray that they will not allow the distraction of the enemy, the hurt of the past, from keeping them from doing what you've called them to do, Father. And as we sing this song, Father, I pray that you'll minister and, again, just change us from the inside out, Father.